Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for the day's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Watch, for you do not know the hour. Today's message is based on Isaiah 2, 1 through 5, and Matthew 24, 36 through 44. But let us open with prayer. God of all hope and joy, open our hearts and welcome, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a dwelling prepared for him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Covenant God, you heard your people yearning for a Savior. Thank you for sending your Son so long ago. We now rehearse your promise that Christ will come again, that death and suffering will end and every tear will be wiped away. Come, Lord Jesus, come. As you fulfilled Israel's hope so long ago, so we long for all these promises to be fulfilled. Amen. So turning now in your Bibles to Isaiah 2, the first five verses, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. So we have Thanksgiving and Black Friday are past. The election somehow still drags on. I heard a commentator the other day compare America to a fourth world country, for even the primitives can run better and faster elections than we seem to be able to do. This all leaves the way open for Fat Boy Santa to have full reign over our lives for the next 4 weeks. Well, it shouldn't. We gather together today not to anticipate the commercial world, but the spiritual world on how God sent his Son to take us as a babe, that we would have a chance of salvation. Now, this is the season of Advent, where we prepare not for Santa coming down a chimney, but the innocent babe delivered in a stable, of shepherds glorifying God and wise men bringing very necessary gifts in worship of this newborn king. So put aside the foolishness of this commercialism. Prepare for the coming of the king. This doesn't mean that we can't enjoy these festivities. There are no greater moments of joy than children's faces with their gifts, seeing family and friends in a celebratory moment. But remember, always the reason for the season, and put the Christ in first place of your hearts. So we begin the season of Advent with Hope Sunday. For what is life with all of its problems, pain, and fear if we don't have hope? The evil of the world has been the major influence for the majority of history due to our sinful nature. We live in a time of major advancements. We are nearly overwhelmed with technology, yet we are still primitive in heart. We are actually more primitive today than we were 50 years ago. Wars and rumors of war, oppression for any who dare speak truth, loss of income and position if you hold to truth, these are all definitely not enlightened concepts. But what is hope? It can be defined as a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Now, this thing is usually something positive and desirable. Children hope for a specific gift for Christmas. The teenage girl hopes that a certain boy likes her. The employee hopes they get a promotion and a raise. Life is full of hope, and it should be. We all have different hopes, but usually along the same line of thought. Our hope changes over time as we mature and our situations change. The wise hopes for less and is satisfied with what they actually have. But we all hope. We begin this thought today with the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah prophesies in a brutal time with constant conflict and destruction, a foreboding of a coming army that will change their lives forever. These were the thoughts of the people of Israel and their fears. Their sin caused the evil to persist, but God had a better plan than they. The prophet today gives us a message of hope. Israel, or more specifically in this case Judah, had once been a superpower, but now struggled. The northern kingdom had been conquered, and now they were being threatened. Their hope was that they would be restored again into a superpower. But God has other plans for the restoration, and Isaiah now tells them what that will be. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. The people wanted to hear that their capital would be exalted to the top again. What we must understand, and I am sure those people did not get, was that this was not the civil government that was to be restored, but something far different. This was not to be the religious government either, for the Lord's house is not the temple of old, but it's the new descendant temple. So how long will they have to wait? We are told in the latter days. That's not a very definitive time. Most take this to mean the second coming of Christ. To the Jew, it would have been the initial coming. Old Testament scholars place the term latter days as to the time of the Messiah. New Testament scholars place it at either or both, Pentecost and or the second coming. I see this as Pentecost being the harbinger of the second coming, for I see Isaiah's prophecies fulfilled in Christ's earthly reign and kingdom. And turning to verse 3, and many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I love the old Thanksgiving picture we had in church when I was a child, showing the pilgrims marching together to church. They came together both for defense and their solidity in faith. But these were believers. What Isaiah points here is that non-believers will now desire to find God. The phrase many people means not people of the promise. This was not the Jews only who were going up, but people from every nation who have seen the light and now wish to ascend. They repent. They put aside their past lives of evil and they desire a new life with Jesus. This image is often found in Scripture, but the Jew of Isaiah's day would not understand it as they were so fixed on what they desired and not what God promises. Do not fall into this same trap, for we all must submit to God and not to any human authority, including self. Now to verse 4. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many peoples. This part will be unsettling to many. For when they come seeking God's favor, they will find judgment. Not even those who make the journey, but all of humanity. Judgment is not something we are able to avoid, but will face, but that is certain. What must we decide is, will we be prepared to face it? Not at a specific time, but at any time. Will you be ready? For this rebuke will not be a temporary thing, but one that will last for eternity. Continuing is a favorite of many, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Now, due to our sinful nature, this is something humanity will never achieve on its own. This can only come with Christ's kingdom on earth. Its message is very simple, but still we have not been able to get there. Our nature is that if you have it, I want it. And war and evil prevail. This is the reason behind the Ukrainian invasion. There will always be something you desire that you don't have. Will you attempt to gain it by force or wiles, or will you live in contentment with what you have? We have lost the ability to be patient for what we want. My grandparents would never buy on credit, but they would save until they had enough. They were never showy people, but they lived in contentment most of their lives. We must again come a little closer to this way of living, to work for what we need and not live desiring that which we cannot have. The only place this is to be found is with God and under God's full authority, and never from the hand of a benevolent government. Prosperity is what you earn, not what is given or taken. We have been fortunate in our lifetimes as we have not lived under threat of being conquered and all we have taken. The Jews of Isaiah's time lived in great fear of this, and this message brought them great hope for a better future. We live in a time of fear, not from a foreign conquering army, but of an internal conflict that will rob us of all worth without any battle. Isaiah does give us an image that pleases. We all desire a time where there is not conflict, trouble, or pain, and God has given us this promise that such a time is coming. But there is something we must do to achieve this. Psalm 2 and verse 9 tells us what the Messiah will do to the disobedient in that day. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. After painting the picture of the glory of the Messiah's reign, Isaiah then challenges Judah, house of Jacob, to live in the Messiah's reign right now. We cannot continue in sin just hoping that Jesus will come and bail us out. But we must live today as if this was the day. We close this selection in verse 5. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. The phrase, walk in the light of the Lord. This means to order your life after God's truth and God's ways. The ultimate reign of the Messiah may be many years away, but Jesus can reign in our lives, in our minds, and in our hearts right now. We don't have to wait for the enforced righteousness of the millennium to have the blessing of Jesus' righteousness in our lives right now. Jesus, the light of the world, is not simply a far-off promise, but is how we should be living today, every day, so that when the day does arrive, we will be found acceptable. Turning now to Matthew 24, starting at verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. As in the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. At this part of the Bible, Jesus is in the middle of a discourse with his disciples of what is to come. They wanted to know when the promises of Jesus would come true. Imagine if you were told some secret that would benefit you and not others. Wouldn't you want to know when you could expect it? And Jesus replies, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. In Mark's gospel, he has Jesus saying that even Jesus does not know. Did Jesus have limits on knowledge? Did God withhold this from Jesus? Did Jesus withhold this from himself? All of these have been debated and discussed to no conclusion. Some things are just better remaining unknown until the time is ripe. What is clearly stated in this verse is that only God knows, and for certain, God does know. Sometimes knowledge is dangerous. In science fiction and time travelers, the one rule is to never do anything that would change the outcome of history. As a people of free will, God wants us to live our lives without undue influence. If we were told that on the second coming was to be on a specific date, we would live in utter debauchery and evil, then repent and attempt to change at the last moment. This simply doesn't work that way. We are either of Christ or of the world, and we are not allowed the knowledge that will affect our lives selfishly. A disciple of Christ is not the last second changer, but one who lives for Christ every day. Remember, we are to save ourselves, but also to save as many others as we can. For God takes no pleasure in destruction, but desires all to be saved. It is our job to be the light to the world, not at the last moment, but every day. And as we continue, Jesus reverts to the Old Testament teaching with, but as in the days of Noah were, so will also be the coming of man. For in the days of before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. We all know the story of Noah and the ark. The world has become evil, sin-filled, and perverse, and God has decided it is time to end it. God finds a righteous man, Noah, and commands him to build the ark, much to the amusement of his neighbors. But Noah obeys God. One day they all awaken with hangovers and it starts to rain, and not just a little. Noah gathers the animals and his family into the ark and shuts the door. If you ever get to go to the ark exhibit in Kentucky, and I would recommend it, as the tour gets near the end, you will find yourself standing before the inside of the door. Projected on the door is a cross. Not there today, Noah entered for the last time. The parallel is striking and moving when you think, as God provided the ark in Noah's day, God has provided Christ in our day. That heavy wooden door preserved all inside the ark. The cross of Jesus was given to us for our preservation, if we accept it. And the verse ends, and so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. We will not experience another flood, but something just as destructive and complete when Jesus returns. As that perverse generation realizes too late and cannot get in, which side of the door will you be on? When Christ comes in the clouds with an army of angels, pray you will be ready and on the right side of the door. And then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Notice that no one is in church when this happens. They are all doing ordinary, everyday activities. They will not be standing on a mountaintop waiting. They will be busy. Notice when you get really busy, your mind concentrates on your activity, and you are often unaware of your surroundings. This is when it will happen. You will not have the opportunity to decide to change your ways, for it will be too late. Your hope and salvation will be in that you live a godly life every day in all things that you do. You will not get an advance notice. Be ready. And now in verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. I pray you have noticed a reoccurring theme in this selection. Jesus is teaching this, not me. And he keeps trying to drive home the thought to watch and be ready. This is not an empty concern, for the elements of Scripture are ripe for this very moment. It may be tomorrow or in another 10 years, but it will come. And are you ready? And we close this passage with, therefore be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. William Barclay concludes his study with this thought. These verses are a warning that never to become so immersed in time that we forget eternity. Never to let our concern with worldly affairs, however necessary, completely distract us from the remembering that there is a God, that the issues of life and death are in His hands, and that whenever His call comes, at morning, at midday, or at evening, it must find us ready. So what has all of this to do with hope? We're living today in a world that shares much of what was bad in the days of Isaiah and in Jesus' earthly life. Isaiah offers us hope in the promises of God as that there is coming a time where we will find peace, in a world of security and joy. All that oppresses us in this day will find themselves finally recognizing God and then come begging to God for their own salvation. But Isaiah warns that that day will be a day of judgment. And from Matthew, we are living in days like the days of Noah, where people live only for enjoyment and pleasure, ignoring God and the commands of God. We have been given clear instruction as to what is required of us to achieve paradise, a paradise guaranteed for us by a babe in a chilly stable, alone in the night, for a short while. We know that the majesty of this moment would not remain still for long, for God summons the shepherds to bring the Christ child praise, as none of the nobles would do so. Do not be influenced by the world, for its days are numbered until its destruction. Pray for Christ to return that we may find peace, for in knowing Jesus and the promises of our God is our hope. Watch, for you do not know the hour. But be assured the hour comes, like a thief in the night. Be prepared, be ready, for our Savior comes. Amen. So let us close today with our benediction. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Eternal God, you taught us that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Keep us awake and alert, watching for your kingdom. Make us strong in faith, so that when Christ comes in glory to judge the earth, we may joyfully give him praise, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find the text and video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com. Watch. Be prepared.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Serving my country changed my life forever. And when I got home, every day was a struggle. I felt trapped. But everything changed the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.